All right. Cool. Well, this is when will it end? We have a new, this is fun. I feel like a vagabond. I just keep picking up. What's your favorite like traveling story? Like a traveler that picks up people and then throws them away when they're done with them.
I just read The Ballad of Silver John by Manly Wade Wellman. And there are parts of it I really did not like, but he definitely fits like the vagabond character. And I really did enjoy like, especially the first three or four stories in that collection, thought were great.
Cool. Do you I have you read the Gunslinger books by Mr. King?
Have, yes.
Have you, Cass? No.
No, is that like a big part of it? Like,
yeah. It's so weird. Like the first book is so weird, and then the second through, I've read four of them, and they all get, for me, like increasingly more boring. But he basically just wanders around and collects people and then hopes they don't die or doesn't really care if they die. But I care if my new co-hosts make it. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Is death an option for us as being?
I didn't know. But
always. It's always an option. It's not.
Cass has martial arts skills.
That's
do not.
That's true. But also, we already hit record, so like we can't take it back.
We're in it now.
Yeah. This is like our hangover episode. This is where we're locked into the machine now. So you could quit Zoom right now, it would not matter. You'd still be in danger. Do y'all want to introduce yourselves? Do you have anything you want to let people know about, or just want to be incognito?
Oh, I want to be incognito.
I'm really?
That's all you need to know? Yeah. I love it.
I'm going to be the opposite. This is how I die.
This could be your last words.
I co-host a show called Horror Hangover with someone who's now incognito.
It's so fun.
I'm the author of Saints Blood, and I have a Patreon where I do a little podcast there too, and I do little comedy horror stories.
Oh, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. That's great. I'll have to check that out.
Thank you.
Cool. So yeah, we're starting a new verse. I haven't seen this in so many years, and I'm very excited. We're starting the Phantasm movies. Ryan, you sort of spearheaded Phantasm, right? That was your...
I suggested, yeah. Phantasm was one of the three I suggested. I saw Don Cazzarelli on his tour to promote his book True Indie. And so they did a screening of Phantasm, and he signed books before and after. So I took a photo with him that's hanging in a framed picture on my wall. I can't turn my camera because I'm on a desktop.
That's fine. There. No one listens. Yeah, we believe you.
Is this based on a book series?
No. His book True Indie was an autobiography. And a lot of it is about, like, he directed The Phantasm. I think he directed 4 or 5. And he directed... The other famous ones are Beastmaster, Bubba Hotep, and John Dies at the End.
Oh, I did like John Dies at the End. It was so weird. But I really
That's basically it, right? I don't think he's really done... I guess he did one movie about a 12-year-old goofing around.
He did a couple of movies about kids before Phantasm. We had like two, like... the way he described them in the book, I haven't watched them. So I've only read his descriptions of them, and a lot of it was like him making them. Like, one is about a boy and his, like... alcoholic father, and Angus Scrimm plays the father in that one, who plays the tall man in Phantasm. And I think Reggie Bannister, who plays the ice cream man in Phantasm, is in the first two movies. And the second movie is about like teenage hooligans playing around. And then he got a big studio job after that, and he didn't make any movies. He like wrote a movie, and they fired him after a year or two because it wasn't working out. And Phantasm was the project he made after all of that.
What a guy. He picks the best, like this movie could never exist anymore. It's such, like, the cast is so, I don't know what the right word is. I want to use like ugly, but it's not like they're not ugly people, but just like everyone's so slick nowadays. It's like these people look just like so silly and normal. Like Reggie is the king of just like normal guy acting. And it's such a fucking weird franchise. It makes no sense. It's so lovely.
Yeah, I would just like push back a little bit in the saying that like I think this was very much a regional movie. And so I think like there's still regional movies getting made, and I think like regional actors are still regular looking folks for the most part.
What do you mean by
You can,
regional?
yeah, I
Oh,
was gonna
sorry.
ask like that same question, same
The best
wavelength.
example is probably like George A. Romero, who made all of his movies in the Pittsburgh area, and there's no one famous in his films pretty much ever outside of like
Okay.
the stuff he did with Stephen King, because people would come in because they wanted to work on a Stephen King thing. But like everything, his whole life was just, it was Pittsburgh. And he made, and there's lots of directors like that who did not hit like George A. Romero levels of fame, because honestly, like I would argue that Night of the Living Dead only got as famous as it did because it lost that copyright card. And so they're allowed to screen it for free at pretty much any double feature. And so that kind of like George A. Romero didn't get paid for that, but I imagine that his success in large part was due to like everybody seeing his movie at the as the second part of their double showing.
Can I push? I'm now, it's my turn to push back.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
George Romero
Love
hasn't made a movie in fucking like 30 years. That's any good. So
mean,
who's doing it
he
now?
wasn't. Who's the
What's a
regional
regional
guy?
director? Yeah, who's a regional director now?
I couldn't
Because
name
how is
one.
this different than like local filmmaking? Like now I'm just like, this is turning into just like
This
rapping. Like, why did
is,
I start this?
I would argue that
Yeah.
this is local filmmaking. We're talking about synonymous things, if you want to call it local filmmaking versus like
Yeah.
regional film.
Okay,
So
okay.
let's all come together. I think
Yeah.
we can agree that there probably are still regional filmmakers, but it's weird that this movie is as famous as it is, casting such
Yes.
nobodies who
Yeah.
all are awesome. With a name like Scrimm, Angus Scrimm, you have to like that born, I don't know. That guy was just destined for greatness. So Cass, is this your first time with
This is second time. I
Okay.
watched it before. I forgot what it was. I think this I sometimes listen to this podcast called Evolution of Horror, and they were doing it for like, I'm trying to remember what the they do like a subgenre for every season, and they go really, really in depth into it. And I think this was like their sci-fi horror pick. And I don't like notoriously like sci-fi horror doesn't really hit for me, but I do still like to watch it because I'm like really perplexed as to why it doesn't work for me. But yeah, this is my second time watching it, and I did have a really good time. I think it's so weird, but like I like that it's so weird. And I think what's interesting too, because I don't know too much about it, but I just did a little bit of like reading up before like coming here to chat with everybody, and I'm so fascinated that it sounds like most of like the cast stayed on for like it sounds like all, if not all, like at least most of the films. And I feel like in horror franchises that doesn't happen anymore. So I'm also really curious to be like, they must really like love this world if they keep doing all these films.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, horror is sort of based on like maybe one person surviving, but it's always about like new
Yeah.
people to get churned up. So I'm excited. Angus is, he's such a, like, what a funny, he's such a funny little bad guy because he's ultimately like not very, he doesn't do very much in some ways.
Yeah.
But he's really, he's cool. He's a real lazy, like Jason and Freddy. They're all working so hard, and Angus is just sort of like chilling at his graveyard thing, at his little funeral home. He doesn't really care that much. It's so funny.
Yeah. He just has a little drone robot like weapon that just does most of the work for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. I'm excited to see how this is going to be a five like film series, because I saw the first one not really realizing it was like a part of like a bigger series. So I'm like, how do you follow this up?
Yeah, because the can we talk about the ending, Charles?
Yeah, you can order whatever you want.
Because the ending is so weird in that like Reggie dies, right? He gets stabbed and he has like a very clear death scene.
Yeah.
And then the little girl
Well,
be
it wasn't very clear. It was
okay. Well, yes.
an unclear death scene.
Yeah.
Okay, he has an unclear death scene. And then the next scene, the little boy defeats the tall man and throws him into this mine shaft that exists for some reason. For convenient plot reasons. And then he goes to sleep and he wakes up and his brother is dead and Reggie is alive. Jody, his brother, is dead. And then the tall man grabs him. And I have no idea where the dream started and who's dead or alive to start movie two, because I've never seen the second one.
I haven't either. Yeah,
Oh, no,
this movie
neither.
is so like it feels like a kid's movie in a lot of ways. It's so silly that it makes no sense. And it's refreshing to see a movie that is less interested in making any sort of sense or using the time. Like it moves in ways that movies don't move anymore. And it was just like so fun to watch.
Yeah,
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
great. So yeah, I don't know. I think maybe you could read the last scene as a dream. And that, I mean, I don't know how you're going to trap this guy. You've seen him blow up in a car. You've seen him. What else have you seen him? You've seen him turn into a lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got turned into a lady a
Lady
few
in
times.
Lavender is the credit. I love that. I was
He can survive both of those things. I feel like just being in a hole, he's probably going to
ooh.
be okay.
I'll probably be fine. Yeah, like,
Yeah.
do you think the whole movie happened? Do you think, because there's that shot at the beginning, right, where oh my goodness, what is his name, the boy, I'm just thinking about tall man,
Mike,
boy
yeah, his name is just Boy. I think it's
where boy,
Michael.
I think it's Michael, yeah, where Michael's at the beginning, before we see like the big pan of like the mausoleum, he's like at the grave sites, right? And like we never see him look down, but at the end of the film, after Reggie's like, "Your brother's dead, dude," he like looks down and he sees Jody's name. So I
Yeah.
was like, wait, did any of this happen? Did all of this happen? But also, like, he is having this fever dream this whole time. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, we're also in a completely different graveyard.
That
That's
is
true. Like, it's
all
a different style
flat.
of
That's
stone.
very
There's
true.
no mausoleum.
That's
Yeah,
true.
there's no ladies in lavender. There's no little Jawas running around. I mean, I think, yeah.
The
I think that I think it's fun. As I get older, I get sort of less and less interested in trying to like decipher a movie. And I think it's really fun that this doesn't fucking matter in a lot of ways. And whether this is him just sort of having a really hard time after his entire family's died in a car crash, or whether this is some false memory planted by the tall man into him after he's like from the hole. Could be a little hole trick. Maybe he's trying to trick him from under all those big rocks.
True.
But also, it doesn't really matter. I think it's cool
Yeah.
that it's like it's weird and it doesn't ever. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine it can't stay as surreal going into the second movie.
I think it
I
get more.
mean, yeah.
I think it's gonna go
I
more.
want to see
Like,
what the
hope
synopsis
so.
is for the second one. Let's see. Phantasm
Well,
two.
we're not allowed.
Oh, we're not allowed. Dang it.
No,
Okay, I won't do
so
it.
we have
We
one
didn't. We
rule.
didn't.
There's one rule, and
I
it's
can't look
you.
up anything.
Yeah, you can't check about the. You just gotta experience it later.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet, because there's five films, I'm willing to bet one is going to be like super mythos, alien planet heavy. And it's probably going to be the second or third one, is my bet, I
Okay.
think.
Yeah, maybe maybe a late franchise look at where Angus came from.
Right, like that planet that we see, or we
Yeah.
think it's a planet, could be an alternate dimension. Again, I
It's
don't know.
amazing. Who knows? We see it so briefly. And I love
Yeah.
that Michael's like sees a line of Jawas just wandering around. He's like, they're turning them into slaves. It's like,
My God.
what a it's quite a jump to
Yeah.
imagine that from what we saw. But hey.
Yeah.
I do think it's a terrifying concept that when you die, if you go to the wrong funeral home, you're going to be turned into, like you said, a little Jawa. You're going to be shrunk to half the size to deal with the heat and the gravity. And you're going to go to this strange planet and you're going to be a slave for, I'm assuming you live for eternity after they bring you back. I
Hope
mean,
so.
yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't sound scary to me. That sounds sort of comforting.
I mean, it
I
sounds like an
mean,
eternity of misery.
I don't know. I like being little. So at least you get to be
Oh.
little. I mean, though you still weigh the same, though. I liked that
Yeah.
little.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. So you get to be small and you have a task at hand. And I hope that maybe Angus, I don't know. Maybe it isn't like, again, we were like, maybe we'll find out later because it doesn't seem.
Yeah.
A lot of guesses are made after 5 seconds of looking at the alien world. And I think maybe they jump to some conclusions. Maybe it's very nice.
Yeah, that's fair, especially because like I just can't get over that line. Oh, that's of course why they shrunk them down to like three
Right.
and 4 inches, because of the gravitational and the heat. And I'm like, what?
Have you
But
ever
yeah,
gone? underwater or to a different country or somewhere where you initially felt like scared, like a baby?
Like a scared like a
Yeah.
baby.
Yeah, have you ever been scared like a baby for being somewhere that you didn't know?
I mean, I think it's that's just me in life. You're like, whew, it's Wednesday.
Okay.
Cass doesn't need to go to a different country to feel that
I
way.
just because maybe it's just culture shock. Maybe they're making a lot
Oh,
of assumptions because they don't like the heat and the gravity. But if you get squished, this is sort of like the whole, like the Invasion of the Body Snatchers is a fun example of people really desperately running away from something that they're scared of. But they actually, everyone seems to be having a really nice time once they've been turned into pod people. So every time I watch, I think Invasion is like a really like optimistic look at sort of just accepting unknown things. Because everyone's like trying so hard to not do this thing, but then all the evidence suggests that it's actually pretty cool and everyone's having a really nice, much nicer time than humans actually have interacting with each other. So,
I gotta rewatch that movie and think about that.
Yeah, because it
I
is
would.
like the pod people do like t completely take over their lives, but they weren't really grateful for their lives to begin with a lot of the time. They're
Right.
like, well, I mean, can you like blame them for being like, I want a 9 to 5 and I want to have some coffee and be content and stare out listlessly? It's like, okay,
Right.
well,
And
this is
everyone's just
fine.
like, they get along. And I think that's something we,
That
like
is true.
humans, have a hard time doing. So I don't know. If I knew that death was me as Jawa, in a desert, I mean, I like the heat too. I'm not running away from that.
Ooh,
Yeah. It sounds fucking nice. I actually am. Maybe
Turning
I'll,
to your
yeah,
5-year plan.
start a new religion based on Phantasm.
Do you think one exists? Do you think there is? There's like a religion for everything.
Probably.
Brian's face.
Possible.
It's a very popular movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the most known. I think even young people still like it's on Canopy for free. It's everywhere. Like there's so many streaming options for this movie.
Can I ask y'all a Phantasm question?
Yeah. I can't believe you're waiting this long to ask me a Phantasm
Who
question.
is Myrtle? There's like a random scene where they're in a
I
house,
should have
this
said
black
no.
woman comes out, and
I
Reggie yells, Myrtle, you almost gave me a coronary!
think
And we
that's a
never see her again. Who is she?
that's his spouse, I think, right?
Think?
Is it?
I don't know. I liked Myrtle. Myrtle was a
This isn't like a
strange.
complaint against Myrtle. I'm just. Where did she come from? Where did she go? Is she going to be in Phantasm 2? Is she the glue that holds this franchise together? Just
Phantasm
gonna
two.
take Cotton Eye Joe theme song this movie.
I yeah, this is again like this movie is so weird. That would never happen anymore. And we have no idea why that happened. And maybe she had a bigger part. I doubt it. You might have just been a little spice that Don was bringing to the Reggie's house. I don't know. His house is cool. That fireplace area is really nice.
Yeah.
I think Reggie and Myrtle keep a really nice home, and maybe just sort of an interaction at the house was really sort of what Don wanted us to feel there. But yeah, what were you thinking about Myrtle? She seemed to like really sink in, Ryan.
I was just curious because, like you said, this would not happen in a movie now. It's like reading it from True Indie, it seems really like they shot like the first like couple weeks in a row, and they switched to just shooting weekends. And
Yeah.
they were living in the house where they were shooting because they leased it, and then they leased a warehouse to build the mausoleum. And so I think Myrtle was just like a cast or crew member, someone who was in the house, not supposed to be in shot. Then she came in and they were like, this is really funny. Let's keep it. Let's go with it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it. I have no idea. That's such a weird little leftover from. So funny. The mausoleum stuff is so cool. It's interesting that they decided to like really build out a trippy, really weird feeling space for the rather than just like shooting in a in an existing mausoleum, they like really built it out and made it look exactly as you wanted it to.
Yeah,
Well,
they also,
maybe.
he was saying that the people he hired to design it were not like set designers, so they really built that. Like, that's not like a set
Oh.
you can just push over. That was like solid built mausoleum.
I love
I
Damn. They still using it, do you think?
don't think so. I think the lease on the warehouse expired.
Okay. So all the corpses in
So
there.
I don't think they had real corpses in it.
Do you, so like if you found out that your loved ones were being turned into Jawas, would you, I don't know. Like, would you fight against this? This is always like, I've seen this a few times. This is always my thing. It's like, I don't know that I would really work up the gumption to care what my dad's body turned into.
I feel like it's based on what we see and know, it doesn't seem like whatever they are like who you knew, right? So like if the options, I guess I'm thinking about it and being very generous. If the options was like, oh, they just decay into dirt and worms in the ground, or they are little Jawa creatures, you're like, well, that seems like a better container, I guess.
Yeah,
But yeah.
maybe Ryan, maybe you're saying that if you believe in like a heaven, and Angus is taking your dad, and he's no longer able to access heaven because he's turning into a Jawa.
I mean,
That's the question.
that is a good question. I don't really believe in much of an afterlife. I think you kind of just like go to sleep forever, which again sounds awesome. I love sleeping.
Okay, so you don't want to go to work in the desert.
Yeah, I don't want to go to work in the desert for eternity. And I do think like the tall man is probably still collecting payments, right? And this stuff is expensive.
Collecting
I'm
payments
not.
in what way? What do you mean?
Like, I think people are paying him to inter their loved ones, right? Like,
What?
you don't get to stay in
Really?
the mausoleum for free. I don't think there's graveyards
Huh.
for free. You pay for a graveyard, you pay for a
Yeah.
coffin, you pay for maybe some people are paying to be cremated. And
Right.
instead of doing that, he's basically just getting paid by both sides. I'm assuming the Jawas planet is also paying him. So he's kind of just like playing the middle, getting paid by everyone. So if he's gonna take my dad and shrink him down into a 3-foot-tall Jawa, I want a cut. I don't want to be paying him $9,000 for the plot and the gravestone. I don't want any of that. I
Okay.
want the money to come my way. It flows to me because it's my dad.
So you're,
I'm
yeah,
so intrigued by the conservative Jawa argument over here.
So you're, I agree. Basically, he's scamming. That's maybe
Yes.
why Michael's so pissed, is that he got fucking got by the tall man. And he's paid for at least two, potentially three lots, depending on whether Jody's dead. Though no, he would, that's a different cemetery. So, but yeah,
Yeah.
he's paid for two lots in, and you're right, it's a rented mausoleum. That's how it works, right? You rent out the space. Or no, you buy the space.
I'm not sure if it's like a rent or a buy situation, but I don't, it's not free.
In this
Ooh.
economy, I think it's
I
better to rent.
know.
Yeah, I think you do weirdly. This is getting so macabre, but I'm here for it. I think you do have to sign like a contract and it's like until X amount of months, and then you have to renew your plot in the mausoleum or like
Wow.
your, I guess, your drawer in the mausoleum.
Okay. And then
Yeah.
if you don't pay up, they,
Don't know. I'm
huh.
not rich enough to have a mausoleum yet. I imagine that like your kids or their kids or someone's kids will pay like foot the bill until they just like are like, well, just gotta discard this body somewhere, but now I
Wow.
know where they go.
I mean, we found out where they go.
There's an episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents called The Life Work of Juan Diaz. That is about this.
Really?
Yeah, there's an episode of Horror Anthology coming out on my Patreon Wednesday, February 20. Sorry, this is
This
a
is good.
shameless plug.
I know, but this,
February
and this is a good,
21st.
this is a great,
It's
okay, you got the
about this
number. Good.
exact. It's about this exact thing. It's about a guy who cannot afford to pay the rent on his grave, and so he gets booted. And it's about what happens to him and his family.
Well,
What happened? I mean, well, we'll listen to the Patreon.
yeah, we gotta listen.
Yeah. That's a funny little story, because I'm not immediately intrigued what happens, but hopefully it's better present. Like, do we care what happens to the,
I
is it the
think the
dead
story
person?
you do.
Is it from the perspective of the dead person, or from the
No,
perspective of the live person?
it's the perspective of his family after he gets the, I mean, it starts out with him alive and he pays for 2 years, and the gravekeeper evicts him after 1 year.
Can
And
you,
that's where
wow.
the conflict begins.
Is it the same terminology for a dead person as it is for a live person? Eviction?
That's the term they use in the episode.
Interesting.
I don't think like the mausoleums like Cass is talking about in real life would use that same term.
They
I
might.
hope not. I feel like they'd find a better euphemism.
Yeah. Re something. Re. I don't know. Maybe reincarnated.
Googling how long can I rent a mausoleum drawer
Okay,
and
yeah, this is
opportunity to
good.
write things for my
This is very good. How long can you rent it
How
for?
long
I want to
can
see
I?
your
Oh
Facebook ad after this,
my
Cass.
God. So it sounds like there are leases. So you can do like 10 years, 5 to 20 years,
And
up
does it
to.
say what happens?
That's what I want to figure out. Like,
Let me see. Hey
let's see.
Siri, what happens if I can't pay for my mausoleum rent? Siri's the worst. How have we all. It's so interesting that, like, in an era when, like, AI is getting not great, but at least, like, it'll talk to you in a way that sounds like a person. And like Google's trying to do stuff, and all these other companies are trying to like really invest in AI, and Apple's just like making goggles. I don't understand. Like, I'd rather have a functioning Siri than a computer head.
Let's
So
see.
frustrating. It did find some Reddit results, but I don't know. Don't really care that much. I hope to never be in that situation.
Yeah, no mausoleum. That doesn't sound very nice.
No, all bad things happen there. That's like where all the Buffy, like that's where Buffy's opponents live, and that's where the gray man, or not the gray man, the tall man. Who's the gray man? Is that a alien?
Think that's X-Files.
Yeah, the like, yeah. Or is that the smoking man?
Oh, the smoking man is X-Files. You're right.
The smoking man,
Who's the
yeah.
gray man? Oh, that's Ryan Gosling.
Oh, it's Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I loved that movie. That was maybe my favorite movie for that year.
I
Did you
definitely
see it?
I feel bad now that I didn't. No.
Everyone
Well, I have
hated
to
it.
now.
It
Everyone
was,
hated it.
I loved it. I thought it was really fun, and Ryan's the best. There's no beating Ryan.
Oh wait, that's the Chris Evans is in this. I did
Yeah,
see
yeah,
that.
yeah,
I
yeah.
immediately left my brain after I saw it.
Absolutely. I watched it twice in 1 week, and it was just as fun the second time because it's, yeah, who cares? It was fun. Good scenes too.
Yeah.
Stuff on a bus, I think. I don't know. I should watch it again. So I think for me, like what makes this movie really good is all the stuff about like the not, because when you think about Phantasm, you think about the sphere and you think about the tall man, and that's like maybe 8% of Phantasm is the sphere and the tall man. And what there actually is there's lots of cars and motorcycles and ice cream trucks and slow long sh like shots of stuff that like. This movie's very slow and inefficient, and I think it's why it stays so relevant and fun, is that it's not like it's such an inefficient movie.
Yeah,
And it's so nice to just like waste time in their space rather than trying to like find a story out of it. And I think the story for me really comes from just like watching them be really bad at whatever they're up to.
yeah, I think it is definitely one of those like it feels like TV movie quality in the best sort of way. And I mean that like as a complex, I actually wish we brought back more TV movies, which I guess technically because streaming everything's TV movies these days, but it's
Yeah.
not the same. Like I want like lower budget, like the script was not finished being done by the time they were filming.
Hell
Like
yeah. I didn't know that, but that makes sense.
Oh no, I don't know if it was, but I
Oh.
feel I, like that's the vibe it gives, all right? It's like, well,
Absolutely.
what are we doing today? It's like, well, Bob, what do we have in the props closet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I like that. I like that. I think I keep watching, so I'm like, I truly do not know what will happen next. And I can't say that about most films.
Right.
Yeah. It's totally unpredictable. It was originally 3 hours long, and
Hell
after a
yeah.
test screening, they cut 90 minutes
That's
to cut
sick.
all, and it was all exposition on who the characters were and stuff. And I think the movie works better
Yes.
without it. And I think the scene where they play guitar is one of my favorite scenes in the entire
It's
movie.
so good.
They
Yes.
sound great, and then at the end it comes back because he's like, I used a tuning fork. Now I can use this interdimensional travel machine because it's just like a tuning fork. It's like,
Wait,
of course. Of
that
course. It's
happens
awesome.
with the kid too. What is his thing? He does something. I mean, there's obviously the Dune box, but is there
Oh, yeah.
something else that he cuts No, I think that was it. The Dune box.
Yeah, and then he puts his hand in it later and he's able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does Jody have one? I feel like they all should have had a moment of a flashback teaching moment. But I don't think he does.
I don't think so.
But yeah, Reggie, that, yeah, that like why are they playing? And I feel like Reggie can play guitar, but Jody, the actor, can't. But
Yeah.
I don't play guitar, so I couldn't quite tell, but it didn't
So they're
seem.
both like their hands are where they're supposed to
Oh,
be.
they
Those look
are.
like they're making the motions they're supposed to make. I think the.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong. It looked like he was playing the same chord, but maybe he was just sliding the same chord around and yeah, I'm.
Yeah. I mean, he was mostly playing rhythm for the other guy.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I think I read that Jody was a musician until he started this,
So he
and the
must have
other guy
been.
was not a professional musician beforehand.
It's so nice that Reggie has a man waiting. Like, Reggie just shows up and he has a man playing rhythm for him. Like, that's such a beautiful friendship where you can just show up to a friend's stoop and he's already there playing rhythm you can just dive into.
Yeah,
It's
it's
so
the
nice.
dream.
Yeah. Did this the music where he plays it again? Like, I don't know, the sound design in this movie is really strange because the music is awesome. I think again another reason why this soundtracks don't like work this way anymore, I don't think, where they're really repetitive and like really invade. And I sort of we talked about this on our episode of Horror Hangover is like how a soundtrack and like when it does so much more than just lay a background. Like this is like there's so many scenes where I'm just like loving it because of the music.
The Phantasm theme, do 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 do,
Yeah.
superior. It's just an excellent theme.
It's great. And the one where Scrim is walking by in slow motion outside in the ice cream fog. The soundtrack there is so good. It's just like weird reverberations and stuff. It's really a strange soundtrack. I love it. That scene is insane. It makes no sense and it does nothing. And it's one of my favorite scenes of the whole movie.
It deeply unsettled me.
Yeah.
All of the scenes where he walks the slow motion, I think they're taken straight from Suspiria. There's a scene where Jessica Harper's character is like pulling into the dance school, and there's somebody running in the forest in slow motion.
Oh,
And
yeah.
the Phantasm Angus Scrim walking seems to be the exact same thing, except he's terrifying instead of me being afraid for him.
Right. Yeah, this is huge Giallo vibes for me. And I don't know if Don, I guess no, he wasn't, because all he's really done is Phantasm and a couple other ones. So like this feels like a Giallo movie in some ways. It's not really mysterious like a lot of them are. I guess it sort of is, but I don't really. We're not really all that interested in solving anything, I don't think. Or maybe you were. Were you interested in solving things?
No, I just think I was like interested in like the ride, you know. I don't want it like to find any answers necessarily with this one. I was gonna say something. Oh, yeah. I just want to talk about the fortune teller lady, like I love her so much. I also love that her and I think I don't know if it was her granddaughter or like roommate or
Yeah.
but like I like that they both had that little detail of that like star tattoo in their faces
Yeah.
to be
Yeah.
like whatever they're doing, they're like they shared some sort of collective belief here and it's shown. I was like, what a fun little detail. And like you
Yeah.
like never go back to them really, but I love them. Kind of wish fortune teller grandma had like dialogue, but she was cool though.
I think that's sort
Anyhow.
of like learning that this was a 3-hour movie. Like, this is what benefits from seriously cutting shit out because we probably would have gotten more of her. And
Probably.
honestly, she probably would have been really boring if we'd heard
Yeah.
her talking and learned about why she's a magician. But like the fact that she shows up for one scene is really weird and then she's never seen again. It's like that's what makes her so memorable, I think. She's so good.
Yeah, I think so too.
Do you think she can collect? Like, how does it? So he pays money and puts it on the Dune box,
Oh,
but
yeah.
then it both everything disappears. Do you think she? How do you think she collects? Do you think she has access to that world where the money ended up?
Can you imagine if they're in on it together this whole time? He's like, don't be afraid,
Whoa!
child. Go towards the mausoleum. Embrace your fear. I get
Interesting.
paid.
This is good. I never thought about this, but they could be the same
Maybe.
planet.
Yeah. I mean, they
Wow.
definitely feel ethereal in some way. as like fortune tellers, psychic people. But I don't know. Maybe there's a trap door in that box where the money goes.
Yeah. I just hope
Maybe.
she can get paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, she deserves it.
Yeah. Though she is ripping off Dune. Like it's they didn't even change the line. They got rid of mind. It's crazy. Like how can you do that? It's incredible. We were talking to Dune. Did you see it yet, Cass? Or is that
Not
later? It's later.
yeah, next week. I still haven't seen the first one, so I'm like, will I get around to seeing it in time? Probably not. Have you
Ah.
seen any of the Dunes?
I've seen David Lynch's Dune, and
Okay,
I was
sounds
in
like
a
the better one.
sci-fi writing group where everyone talked about Dune a lot, and I'd always smile and nod like I'd read Dune,
So
but I had
good.
not read Dune.
It's a smarter move. Dune, I really don't think it's a very, I mean, whatever. I did not like it. It's a very long, it's a long book about how cool a boy is.
Yeah, I read the book because I was the past I was dating someone who was like really liked it. I think it's like the thing too. It's like people that are into Dune are like so into Dune. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like a male fantasy, like a
Yeah.
very specific kind of like I'm the chosen one. It's
Right.
like, hey, so you're just Jesus with robes and more sand and stuff and
Yeah.
spice.
And Herbert loves this kid. It's so funny. Like the third person narrator is just like a weaker person would have failed here, but because this is Paul, the alien
Not
who is named
Paul.
Paul.
Not Paul Atreides or whatever.
Paul, what a stupid thing to name your alien.
Yeah.
So stupid. He's like, but Paul's cool. Paul's better than everyone, and he's such a cute boy, and I love him. I hope he dates me soon.
And isn't there some sort of like coming of age orgy thing he has to participate in? That, like that it's a I swear this is
I'm
like
sure. He probably just
<I
no, Ryan, just nod. Just remember that scene?
don't>
Yeah. The
I
scene
actually
where
remember Dune now. There's a coming of age orgy. I haven't seen one of those since It.
Yeah, and everyone looks like Frank Herbert. It's a weird
Oh,
detail if
perfect.
that he included, but like all of them look sort of like Frank Herbert, and they're all like, "Oh my God, I'm having such a nice time with Paul." Paul, in that scene, if you remember it, Paul grows as many feet as there are Frank clones, so that they all can suck on the big toe.
He really wants that big toe.
Yeah, it's a cool book.
My goodness. Someone I know calls Timothy Chardonnay all the time, and I've just started doing it. It's so funny. So I'm just imagining Timothy Chardonnay with like 20 feet in Frank Herbert's mouth.
It's so sad that that's like the guy that we got. I mean, maybe we didn't get him. I'm old. I don't get Timothy. But like, I feel bad for. Oh no, maybe who goes? Whatever. They're young. Maybe they like Timothy. But Timothy's such a wet sandwich for me. He just like I never care about anything he's doing on screen.
Yeah. Have you seen Bones and All? That was the only time where I was like, I
Wait,
feel this.
which one?
Bones and All. Have
I
you seen
haven't seen Bones and All. No,
that? Okay.
it's good.
That's the
Okay.
one time where I was like, Timothy? Okay. But it's all the only reason why I watched it wasn't for Timothy. It's because it's based on a YA cannibal romance story. And I was like, hey.
It sounds familiar. I will
Yeah.
investigate.
I
You might
like
if you
him.
hate it though, I'm sorry ahead of
I'm
time. If
fine.
you're like, God damn it. Sorry, Ryan.
I liked him in Lady Bird, where he played like this like dirtbag boyfriend who's reading Howard Zinn's History of the United States, A People's History of the United States. He just keeps quoting it at people, and he's so fucking annoying.
That's
He's
true, yeah.
perfect in that.
Yeah. He's good at that. It's sort of like Michael, he's sort of like Michael Cera, but like Michael Cera got cast as that asshole that no one likes, and Timothy's getting cast as the hunk that everyone's supposed to like. But I think you're
Yeah.
right. He plays a really good dirtbag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sort of like I don't know, Jon Hamm got sort of Mad Men'd, but he's really good at playing a different kind of person, and maybe Timothy will get sort of reborn as in his later career as someone that we can all sort of hate.
Yeah. I would want a good villain role for him, but not like something like method like the Joker. Don't give me that bullshit.
No,
Like I want
no.
something where he like I stabbed a man today. And you're like, "Oh, okay."
So like crazy, like psycho killer
Yeah,
or
I think I'm always worried because I mean I've seen those Wonka trailers and they'd be freaking out every time.
Oh God. I didn't realize that Wonka was by Paddington guy, and now I'm like really sad because it doesn't look very good, but Paddington is so good. I feel like I should give it a try. Have you seen Wonka, Ryan?
I've not seen Wonka. I am behind on Paddington and Paddington 2. I need to watch those as well.
Yeah.
Isn't my kid is like another year older. We can watch them with her.
Yeah. I think they probably would be good kid friendly stuff. Yeah. It's a little scary. They try to try to kill Paddington. Oh, never mind. No spoilers. Sorry. They do try to kill Paddington. Maybe it's not really a spoiler. That's a little
enticing.
Tease. Yeah, it's enticing.
Yeah.
It's not just sandwiches.
Making honey sandwiches.
You have to go sort of soon, right, Ryan?
Yeah, I got like 10 more minutes.
Great. Yeah, let's start. Yeah, let's. I think this is a lovely sort of introduction to the franchise because it's a weird series that doesn't really. Nothing really happens. Someone dies. It's got the just like we find out a man is stealing people and turning them into Jawas, and for some reason this kid really cares about it, and that's it. That's the 90 minutes. Did you have anyone that like either of you have an MVP, like a person? So MVP is like can be anything you want. It can be the character that you like the most, but it also can just be like someone that like was in it. It could be a Myrtle, you know, someone that like, oh, is like a weird, it's like the spice of the movie for you. So I don't know if you had anyone that like really, really made it to the top of the list.
Yeah, I think the Lady in Lavender for me, love it. I just feel like she had to do so much. yeah, no, I think she's my MVP. Hopefully
that's
she comes
good
back.
Pick.
Yeah.
Definitely Reggie for me, because I just liked his guitar playing.
Yeah. It's a great scene. And also, it's weird. This movie felt like it had nudity in it to just like have nudity in it because those shots were really strange.
So I got a little insider stuff from his book on that.
Good. Because it's like, there's such ugly tit shots.
Yeah.
So the actress and the actor both refused to do a sex scene.
Wait, which actor? So from the opening scene?
I cannot remember what the male or, was, but the girl would not do nude scenes because she was engaged to be married and she wanted to save that for home.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to Don Cazzarelli, during the screening, when the tit shot came, her mom said, "You have much nicer boobs."
Yeah.
And Don Cazzarelli was like, "Well, it's too late now." And I think that was a very weird response. but yeah, it was... The show, it was like a nude model they hired just for that scene.
Oh.
And the person who drops their trousers is not that actor. It's mm-hmm. one of the crew members wearing the same pants.
Okay, got it. So Jody refused to get
yeah,
naked.
I believe so.
Okay.
And
let me just, I want to say, not shaming the actor. Those tits are nice. It's just like the framing of it is so strange.
Very strange.
Especially the second one from Jody's sex scene. Like, it's just like the weirdest. You'd never see that in any... Like, it's not a pleasant thing to look at.
No, it's like an extreme close up to like where you can see like the butt, like the little
right.
areolas. You're like, well, okay, but that's it's, I feel like it's like more medical, more clinical, maybe. So
yeah.
close. And you're like, oh, yes, breast. I see a breast.
And then the first one is like, she's holding one of her boobs for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like all in shadow. It's very strange. It's like, I like in some ways when nudity's in movies like this because it like, I don't know, I grew up, like this was actually one of those movies that I think I talked about it on the podcast episode that we did. It was like this guy just like let me borrow his DVD collection when I was working at a bookstore. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the ones that he shared with me and it's great. But it's sort of like, I like a sleazy movie and I like when, even though they're probably for the wrong reasons why there's nudity in movies, it's, I like sometimes when it has that feel. And this just is like, it just doesn't really accomplish, I think, what could have worked about those sequences.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think the angle of their legs.
Yeah, sick.
In between cuts is just like...
So glad you noticed that.
You cannot be in these two positions at the same time unless you're like... It just doesn't... It doesn't work.
So my theory is that Don loved the shot, like that shot of the two legs. But then he also wanted her to stab him, and I think her, so like they could have flopped it so that she's under in like straight missionary, but then it would have been a really hard thing to shoot with her stabbing from below. So Don was like, all right, you have to be on top. But then he wanted that like legs coming out of a graveyard shot, which when you're straddling someone, it just doesn't work. So he like tried to get everything in one. And honestly, I really admire that. He's like, no, we must have this. This is basically that one shot explains why this movie is so fun, is that Don has a vision for everything and none of it meshes. Mm-hmm. None of it works. Everything is just like from scene to scene, like when the power goes out and suddenly like Reggie's by himself and Michael's over here and Jody's over there. It's like, wait, what is going on? And it just like Don's like, who cares? I want this to happen. So I agree. That scene is like sort of just like the just like the explanation of everything to come.
My in-universe theory explanation is that the woman in lavender, because she's just like kind of an astral projection of the tall man anyways,
right?
Could be anywhere. I think it's supposed to like clue us in that this is off. Not like something is off. Something's amiss.
And I think that's what you cast earlier. You're saying like you don't really know what is happening because like everything is off, and whether that's on purpose or not, I don't think it matters. I think Don is like really good at making things that feel unreal, surreal. Like this shot from the ball. Actually, my MVP is the sphere.
That's it.
Even though it's like doesn't get as much play as I remembered, for some reason I remember like being 90% people running away from spheres. the shot from the POV of the sphere showing that it is sentient in some way. It's very cool shot. It looks awesome. Special effects don't look like that anymore. And I think just the special effects, maybe I'll give it like a slight runner up just to special effects in general. It's really refreshing to watch a movie that not only has cool special effects, but like, I think CGI should have been this promise of like, wow, we can really create whatever we want. And all we ended up doing was recreating stuff that looks normal, where when you have like fake fingers, it's like, wow, we can like go crazy making fake fingers, but it still feels so physical. And like they build the world around the special effects rather than just like making the special effects seem unnoticeable. And this movie is so fun that like it really pushes everything into that corner of filmmaking.
Yes.
I wanted to throw out Don Cazzarelli's mom under three separate credits did the costuming, the makeup, and the set design.
That's love so her. Nice.
Also like in the conversation for MVP of the movie.
That's great. I love that. That's like she's so supportive but doesn't want to steal the thunder from, you know, so she's just pretending and but really doing so much behind the scenes for Don. That's such a great mom. Are you asking when will it end? Cass or Ryan?
No. Do I ask that if I was like, when will it end, being like, I've hit my limit, no more? Is that the stage?
Yeah, we thought it made more sense when we named the podcast, but it is very confusing for most people. So yes, it's if you are sick of the podcast, you are asking when will it end. But if you're ready for more, then you're not at that point yet. You haven't hit that wall.
I'm ready to keep going. I also hope, like, this is just an aside, but I was just thinking of it in the back of my head anyway. I really hope that the tall man and Lady Lavender just continue. I don't know if they do, but I just hope it's like not explained and that it's just this person. It just embodies all genders. I would love
it. Yes.
Please.
I love that point. And I think that's such a cool, one of the best shots is when it like strobes in and out of the lady and the guy. And actually all the characters are strangely androgynous. Like
Mike is a very pretty boy and I like that.
And Jody, what are the transvestigators, that awful like people, they would be so confused by Phantasm.
They'd be so confused.
But it's true. Everyone's very attractive and like gender confused, and it's so nice to see like no one really fitting those stereotypes. And I really love that. I didn't really pick up on it, but yeah, it's like to have the tall man be the lady and the lavender lady too. It's like, it's so cool.
What about you, Ryan? How are you feeling?
I'm definitely ready for more. I'm really curious who's alive and who's dead after the ending.
Yes.
I don't know who's alive and who's not.
Yeah. It's, I did the Wishmaster series with, a friend of mine from the UK and like sort of, I like horror franchises because they have such an easy in some ways time of franchising, because they like Jason, like the first Friday the 13th, like it literally ends in the most weird, confusing way with the boy jumping out of a lake. But then it like really makes you like, okay, great, this can go anywhere we want. And I feel like I love that. Like this can, anything can happen. Anyone can be alive. Anyone can be dead. And it's just like, it doesn't even have to even really do much with what's currently here. It can really go wherever it wants. It's going to be fun. I'm not asking either. Yeah, I'm excited for more. Great. Well, unless you have anything else to say, we can continue this journey into the Phantasm verse. Everyone should definitely listen to your podcast. And I don't know if you wanted to give it a little plug or anything.
We're a hangover. We're me and
Cass. Oh, yeah.
I exist. I exist.
We talk about different genre tropes. We break them down. We have a good time. We have guests pretty much every month. We're monthly. We have a blast.
Yeah. It's a really fun show. And I love it. It's cool to, because you like this podcast is the opposite. We spend so much time talking about nothing. And I'm always amazed at how much like you can sort of look at a whole, like obviously you look at a couple movies, but it's like, it's very investigative of a whole like movement or genre or filmmaker or style or something like that. So it's a really fun, I like it a lot. I'll leave some links in the episode notes. And yeah, ready to, I don't know, I'm really ready to become a Jawa. So I hope we learn more about that in the next one.
Oh, I love that. This has been really fun. And I honestly needed this good talk with Phantasm. So I'm really happy that we had some time to do it.
Oh, that's good.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, of course. This is going to be fun. Thanks. I love people are, I used to do two-parters with guest co-hosts because I didn't really want them to, you know, feel pressure to keep doing it, but so far I've had Charlie pick a 9-parter, Justin picked an 11-parter, and now you've chosen a 5-parter. So this is great. Awesome. All right, well, we'll be back next week with Phantasm 2. I'm sure there's a subtitle.
Well, I'm sitting here at midnight, I've been sitting here till noon. I see my lady left me lonely. Yes, she did. My baby left me blue. Huh!